might be the save of the season for backup Curtis McElhinney. Kessel centering pass. Gensel to Crosby. Blocked by Roman Polak. Big block. Matthews to the net. He scores. Number 40 for Austin Matthews. It's been 4 years, but it seems like 40, doesn't it? The Toronto Maple Leafs are going back to the playoffs with a whole day to spare.
What's going on, everyone? Thank you for joining us on the Tip of the Tower Toronto Maple Leafs podcast. Joining me as always is David Morosutti and Jake Middleton, and we have another special guest tonight who's going to join us on a more regular basis now. That's our newest contributor, Omar White. Omar is going to help fill in with the Leafs stuff, and tonight all four of us are going to break down the Eastern Conference preview. Guys, how's everybody doing tonight? I mean, feel free to answer that however order you guys please.
I'm not gonna tell terrible. You
one here. Oh, okay. I knew you'd speak first, Jake. I knew it.
Okay, I'm doing all right.
I feel pretty good, you know, new voice on the podcast, so it's great to join the team. I'm assuming if we were a hockey team, you'd probably let me skate on my own, so.
Yeah, see, that's what I was trying to do, but Jake kind of took the momentum away from us on that one. It's okay.
If this podcast was a team, we'd be the 2013 Oilers.
Oh, boy.
Where did Lots of potential?
Yeah, filled with it.
Who are you? So you're Yakupov then?
Exactly. got all the talent, but just nope.
Yeah, score a goal, slide on your knees all the way down.
Exactly, and still know that we're in 29th place.
Yeah, that's a train wreck of a team. Thankfully, we didn't talk about them again today. We talked about them yesterday. Obviously, they're in much better shape now, the Oilers, but what a dark days they were in before. Anyways, moving on to the Eastern Conference. We'll break down all that tonight, series by series. Obviously, we'll start with, you know, the hometown team, the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're taking on the Washington Capitals. You guys know the story. Everybody knows the narrative, the storylines heading into this. Guys, give me one good reason why the Leafs can upset the Capitals. Omar, you want to start first with a reason?
Well, the Capitals have a lot of pressure to win this year, obviously. They're going to be losing a lot of UFAs at the end of the season. The Leafs, high-flying kids, have no expectations. So if anything, Washington could choke, which they usually do in the second round or in game sevens, assuming the Leafs get that far. So it could be just the youth, or who are we kidding? The Washington is just going to destroy us.
Well, Jake kind of feels that same way. All of us did, to be honest, before you came on. That's why I thought I'd ask you first, because one of the previous pods, we were like, yeah, five games, hopefully six.
Yeah, definitely five. I say they probably get game three at home, you know, first home game, playoff home game in a while, you know, going off the crowd, you know, a lot of home kids, Marner, Brown, Hyman. Jake doesn't like Hyman. So they're probably like right off that momentum, but afterwards then it's probably over.
I feel like every year we enter the postseason saying this is the Caps year, and this year truly feels like it is, but, you know, we've said this last year, arguably the year before that, so... Why is this year different, Jake, or is it?
I mean, you know, also, by the way, if they are to lose in five, I hope they win game two in Washington, because then I will be in attendance, and that would be nice. So, but outside of that, yeah. I think the big difference that, you know, I think they finally committed to it. You know, their GM said last year they have a two-year window to win the Stanley Cup, and he finally put, you know, basically an ultimatum on them. And this front office has done all it can do. I mean, there's no way they can get any better than they are right now. I mean, they went out and they added the best trade piece on the open market in Kevin Shattenkirk. They traded for TJ Oshie a year ago. They signed Justin Williams. They're just loaded top to bottom, and they have so many restricted free agents coming up and unrestricted free agents coming up that the next year it's going to be a really different team. And I think, you know, they have kind of like a quiet confidence in that locker room where, you know, they know this is it. You know, it's not like, oh, you know, maybe if we make it to the finals, we don't win this year, we can come back and give it one more shot. No, they know this is probably it, because it's going to be a drastically different team by the start of next season. So I think they know that, and yeah, the pressure's massive, but I don't know, they feel like they have this team has a different look to it, but we'll see come Thursday.
Well, we know all the pressure's on Washington. That's something that I think everybody knows. I mean, it's kind of weird saying there's no pressure on the Leafs, especially living in Toronto. The Leafs might not have pressure, but they do have a lot of injuries. Nikita Zaitsev is expected to play. Steve Simmons, as a source, told him that that's, you know, take that for what it's worth. So, yeah. But I feel like if Zaitsev plays, that's a big help. We don't know about Polak, and Frederik Andersen, who is kind of important for the Leafs, is expected to play. So, I don't know. Are you guys at all concerned about the defense?
I would be concerned even with all the guys healthy. They haven't looked too great. I mean, it's a tough thing. Maybe they'll be better in the playoffs, but I think just Washington's just going to come out really heavy. You saw what they did last week against Toronto, the way that they were just pounding them, not giving them much space, and that's what the Leafs. And then when you look on like the offensive side, they're going to force the defense to make terrible turnovers, and that's what's going to kill the Leafs if they turn the puck over a lot. Because in the playoffs, when another team gets as many chances as Washington can get, they're going to bury them.
Something else I found interesting with the Leafs is that this is no secret either. They have the lowest winning percentage in the league this year in one-goal games. It's 378. Is that just bad luck, or is this a sign of things to come? Because we all know the playoffs gets tighter, and one-goal games are a lot more common. So is this bad luck, Omar, or is this the thing that we should expect to see more of?
Well, especially down the stretch, if you go back to even the Chicago game, St. Patrick's night, it was a one-goal game, and those are the kind of games that Babcock will probably want the team to play in. But if we're going into the playoffs, and if you look at also previous examples, if you have the type of low-scoring game that's really tight and defensive-minded, the Leafs are known to have brain farts in their own end. You know what I mean? Like a simple play or a bad turnover in the defensive zone and, you know, the net can get filled. So if the funny thing is, I think the best chance the Leafs do have is to go the opposite way and just go running guns. Let's score some goals. Because if they try to keep it a one goal game, either Anderson's going to have to stand on his head every single night or they're going to get filled in.
Jake, something you said in the last podcast was that you can kind of attack the Capitals off the wing and use speed like Pittsburgh did. That kind of goes hand-in-hand with what Omar's saying here about playing a run-and-gun style. Do you think the Leafs can even play a run-and-gun style with Washington? Because we've seen how quickly they can fill the net up.
I actually do. I mean, I wrote a thing about this coming out soon, but you look at their defense, and you know, obviously they got some really good defensemen that can skate, guys like John Carlson. Dmitry Orlov's a really good skating defenseman, but you know, guys like Matt Niskanen's also a really good skater, but you look at guys on the back end like Nate Schmidt, Brooks Orpik, who's, you know, I think he's about 36 or 37. Kevin Shattenkirk is not the fleetest of foot. These are definitely guys that you can attack because they got the old legs and, you know, they just don't have the foot speed that they used to. Even a guy like Carl Alsner. You know, they've proven, you know, in the past that if you can come at them with the speed, you know, obviously last year that Bonino, Hagelin, Kessel line absolutely destroyed them. And why is that? It's because, you know, Carl Hagelin is the fastest skater in the entire league. So it just goes to show that there are things that you can do to kind of beat up that team. And it's going at those bottom two D pairings because seemingly – that top one, I don't know if how they match up, but seemingly I thought it was Orlov with either Niskanen or Carlson because, you know, that top line is probably going to be their shutdown line against either Matthews or that JVR line. But outside of that, you really gotta be able to go out there and take advantage of that because by the looks of it, the Leafs have speed on all four lines. You know, even the fourth line, a guy like Kapan, he can really go out there and move. And it's something that you would definitely have to look at going into the series for sure.
Can we agree, though, that Connor McJesus is the fastest skater in the league, not Hagelin?
Yeah. Probably in terms of high-end speed and acceleration, it's pretty close. I mean, Carl Hagelin, I've seen him skate when he was with the New York Rangers.
Oh, he can fly.
He can absolutely fly. But, yeah, probably I was kind of taking for granted.
Kind of pumping his tires a little bit there. That's all good. Yeah. It's all good. Yeah. All right, so with all this being said, Dave, do you still see the Capitals winning the series in 5 or 6 like we said in the last podcast or no?
I do. I think it's going to be tough to beat Braden Holtby and win 4 games against him in a series, and you got to stop Ovechkin for, you know, how many amount of games you need to win it, and that power play is just way too good. Especially you have Shattenkirk, who makes it better. Ovi, who's going to, I think he's going to be a beast this series. And Backstrom is probably going to be the underrated guy that nobody's, I mean, everyone knows what Backstrom can do, but everyone's going to be thinking about Ovi, Holtby, and a guy like TJ Oshie. The talent on that team is just way too much for the Leafs to handle.
Omar, you feel the same way? Are you you lean Leafs here?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think for the Leafs to be able to stand a chance, especially in Game 1, which is going to be huge, that's going to set the tone for the whole series, it's definitely going to have to be the veterans that's going to step up. If you want to wince and remember back to the Leafs' last playoff run, JVR scored the first goal in Boston. So you're going to have to be looking at him, Bozak, Gardner even, Kadri as well. Like, those players are probably going to have to step up and, you know, give the idea that they can play with these guys, and hopefully they can.
So you're taking the Caps or you're taking the Leafs?
Oh, Caps. Caps in five, unfortunately.
Caps in five, okay. Jake, I know you're on the Caps here.
Yeah.
Games or what?
I actually think six. I think they actually get one in Washington. I have a feeling. And also, you know, it was brought up today that the Leafs have won or barely won every game that Braden Holtby has played in. I mean, yes, remember the 6-5 loss? They lit him up, and I think they beat him. It was about 4-1 or 4-2 when Holtby played. So that's kind of an interesting nugget. I don't know if it will have anything to do when the playoffs come, because, I mean, the guy's an absolute star. But, you know, it's not nothing. And, you know, maybe it's just the way they know how he plays or something like that. But I definitely think they can put some goals up on the board. But, you know, if they can just limit their scoring opportunities and, you know, hold them to under, you know, two or three goals a game, I think they'll have a chance to get a couple. But I have a very hard time seeing the Leafs winning this series.
Yeah, I was looking back at their games against Holtby too, and that's what kind of gave me hope to say, you know, okay, I think this could be maybe six games. If they get a couple bounces, seven, but that's like a colossal stretch. I'm going to go with the Capitals in six, too. So, unanimous, all of us, Washington in five or six still. Moving on to Boston and Ottawa. I know we all probably dislike the Senators by nature, but Ottawa's owned the Bruins this year. They own the season series 4-0. Is that going to continue, or is this going to change? Dave, what do you think?
I think it changes a little bit. Ottawa's health is a concern for them, I think, going into the playoffs, although some of the guys are coming back healthy. Boston, I think Boston is going to be, they're going to be a different animal in this playoffs. I think Marchand, Pastrnak, Bergeron, Krejci's always been a good playoff performer. And the only thing that worries me about Boston is the injuries on the blue line and whether that's going to be a problem. But Tuukka Rask has been, you know, the heart and soul of that team this season. And Ottawa, I'm still not sold on Ottawa. I mean, we've talked about it, and Jake's talked about it too, about the style they play, whether that's going to be good enough to get them to the next round. I don't think it is. I think Boston is going to take it this time.
Yeah, it definitely feels like the battle of the pests, eh? You have Burrows and Marchand going at it. But I'll definitely have to give the edge to Boston as well. Going off based on the stats, Ottawa is 22nd in possession, and Boston is second or third, I believe. So that's going to come down to it. As well as David mentioned, the injuries on the back end might be an issue. And for Ottawa, if Carlson isn't – well, obviously, when you're going into the playoffs, not everyone is 100%. But if you don't have Carlson at least 80%, you're losing a key contributor and your captain on the team. So that can definitely be a negative for Ottawa going into that series.
Hey, Jake, how important has Brandon Carlo been to the Bruins this year?
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty much been their one of their most valuable players, considering that this is a team going into the year was not good defensively at all, and I still don't think they are that good. But, you know, he's a kid that was a second-round pick in 2015 and has already turned into a top-six defenseman at, you know, the age of 20. I mean, he's been incredible. But, I mean, A person that I wouldn't count out of this series that I think could actually have a pretty big impact is Charlie McAvoy, who it looks like he's going to get a chance to play a couple of these games. And, you know, he's probably one of the top maybe top two defensive prospects outside of the NHL, him and maybe Shabbat in Ottawa. So, you know, he just came from the NCAA. I know Boston University lost in the Elite Eight, so they're out, and he's been playing with the Providence Bruins. So I'm not sure how healthy that blue line is on both sides, but yeah, you know, Carlo's definitely going to be a really big player for them, and they hope that he comes back healthy.
I know Jake is not a fan of this, but we've seen Guy Boucher time and time again when this team runs into trouble use the 1-3-1 trap. We saw back when he's in Tampa when they played the Bruins way back when, he used that and it gave the Bruins all sorts of trouble. I could see him definitely going back to that again. I know we're all probably not a fan of it, but how big of a factor do you see that trap being in this series, Omar?
Well, it's definitely not going to make the games any interesting. In terms of effectiveness, it could be good, especially if you want to get a lead early and then just hold it out. And, you know, you're probably going to want to try to stop Marchand, Pasternak as well. Those, they have really big offensive threats. And then if you have Anderson, who's been playing really well this season, if he can, you know, stop the one or two grade A chances that they'll probably allow, then that can definitely win you a game or two in the series.
Jake, do you want to vent about the trap right now, or are we going to save that?
Yeah, I mean it's awful. I mean it's not only terrible for the game of hockey, but it's, you know, it's a style that will never win nowadays because you just don't have the talent necessary to do it. And I mean, you know, I've hated this team for the whole season. I never thought they were really that good. And yeah, I mean, hopefully they don't have the lead and they actually have to attack you. So. You know, I guess that's really all I got to say about it.
Swinging back around then, Dave, who do you got in this series and why?
I got Boston in 7 games. I think that Marchand has taken his game to another level. Bergeron is still, I think, one of the better two-way players, especially when it comes to the playoffs. And Krejci is going to be I think he's a guy that's going to give Ottawa a lot of problems with the matchups. I don't think Ottawa can match up for what Boston, and David Backes will, I think, play a role in this series, unlike he has as much in the regular season.
Omar, who you got and why?
Oh, yeah, I'm the same way. Boston in 7. I think just for the same reasons as Dave said, and also just because I think Tuukka Rask is definitely going to be a factor. I think goaltending as a whole is definitely going to be a factor between the two, and I'll definitely take Rask over Anderson. So Boston in 7.
Mr. Middleton, what do you got, pal?
Boston in 5.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Quick work.
I think they destroy this team. I don't think anyone's healthy. I don't think Carlson is going to be his normal self. I think Marchand coming back and almost blowing the playoffs for his team is going to be a man possessed. I think he destroys them. And I just don't see them winning a game in Boston.
I got the Bruins in 6. I think Ottawa, obviously, with all their injuries, they're not going to be the same team. I think they're going to try and slow things down. But I think that actually kind of helps the Bruins personnel. I mean, they can play both styles offensively. And guys like David Backes, you know, even Ryan Spooner, these are guys we haven't seen like a lot of offensively this season. But I think come the postseason, this style of play is really going to help them. So I'll take the Bruins in 6. And that Tuukka Rask guy is pretty good. Moving on to the Rangers and Canadiens. Battle of two goaltenders here. I mean, the Canadiens, They're Carey Price, right? They're Carey Price and they keep the puck. Is there anything else that I'm missing here with the Canadiens, guys?
Nope.
That sums it up. I think if anything, if you want to look at Radulov, it'll be his first swing at the playoffs since the Nashville incident. So he can definitely be a firecracker for Montreal on that team, but it starts from Price.
Well, you speak of Radulov and he's got a 54% Corsi this year and he has 31 even strength points. Both those lead the team. Is he not the X factor in this series then, Dave, like Omar's alluding to?
I think he is. I mean, I know Pat Chiaretti got hit in practice with, I think he got a stick to the face, but I think Radulov has been their best player other than Carey Price, and he seems to like playing in Montreal. I mean, compared to Nashville, I guess the hockey life is a little bit better, but I think he's going to be, he has to be Montreal's best player. I mean, Pat Chiaretti is a decent goal scorer, but I think Radulov sees the game a bit better, and he's really helped Montreal take their game a little bit better offensively.
Okay, Jake, we've seen the Rangers have a balanced attack all season. They got 10 players with 10 or more goals. But the problem is they've been dominated by the Canadians. The Canadians swept them this year again, 3-0. So can they just flip a switch here and figure out a way to solve the Canadians, or are they doomed?
I don't know. I don't even think it's a switch to solve the Canadians. I mean, they played terrible down the stretch. I think in their last 17, they won like 6 games or something. Something like really bad. Yeah, they're a team that's, I don't know. I don't really know their identity. I know everybody kind of penciled them to be awful at the end of last year after they got absolutely dismantled by, I think it was Pittsburgh. And I don't know. They're a weird team. But, you know, then again, you know, they still have the King, and he always shows up in the playoffs. I mean, he always has and always will. And, you know, obviously Madison Square Garden gets it going. And also, I think it's going to be an interesting series, especially since the last time these team matched up, they had that Kreider injury to Carey Price. So that's going to be an added element to it. But yeah, you know, the Rangers are a weird team. They got, obviously, they don't really have any superstars. They just have a lot of really good players. Guys like Kreider and Rick Nash and Kevin Hayes and Zuccarello. Zibanejad's a good player. McDonough. It's weird. I definitely think there's more talent on the Rangers than there is on the Habs. But, you know, maybe that goalie, 31, can steal the series for them.
Omar, off the air too, we talked about the Chris Kreider incident, like Jake was just mentioning there. You want to explain that again for people that don't know?
Oh yeah, definitely. I believe it was Game 1 Game 1 of the
Eastern Conference
2014. Finals. Yep. And you know, Kreider's going heading to the net, stumbles and goes skates first into Carey Price's knee, and that was the series. So
now, all the drama around that was it intentional? That was a ton of the drama around that.
Yeah. I think it was. You always know where you're going. Obviously, I don't think he intended to injure him, but I think he intended to hit him.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that play that happened to Freddie Anderson with Sestito. I mean, he didn't do it on purpose. He's not trying to injure him, but he knows where he is, and he knows he's going to give him a bump and just to let him know, hey, I'm going to be around here the whole game, so get used to it. And, you know, it ended up working for the Rangers. You know, they made it to the finals that year and relatively did quick work of the Canadians. I think it was like a five game series, I think it was. But
yeah, it actually be funny. I wonder if AV would give a nod to Kreider and pull a whole Karate Kid and, you know, sweep the knee type of thing. Take out Price in Game 1.
If that happened, oh my God, man, there'd be a riot on the ice.
Yeah, there would be, because if it happened again, for sure. But I mean, I'm just really interested to see how the Habs play in the playoffs, considering, you know, this is a team that's really pretty devoid of talent. You know, I think they have Galchenyuk as their fourth line center for some reason. I mean,
they've been moving him around. He's played most of the wing down the stretch, actually.
I'm pretty sure that I saw that they had Paul Byron was their first line center or something ridiculous like that. I mean, you know, if he's their first line center, they're getting swept in this series. But I mean, I'm not a big believer in this team either. I think they're a smoke and mirrors team, just like the Senators are. But then again, you know, they still have, when he's on, the best player in the world in Carey Price. And obviously, if you can get a hot goalie, we've seen Montreal do damage like that before and take down the Capitals. So it's definitely a possibility.
To build off that point on other Montreal Canadiens that need to step up, it'd be interesting to see how Shea Weber plays, just because they did trade for him, you know, to have that stability on the back end. You know, he, you know, had a pretty good season, you know, 42 points, 17 goals. So I think a lot of people will be comparing his play to how PK Subban does over in the West.
Yeah, I think that's a huge narrative that we'll see all postseason, especially because a lot down the stretch, Canadians fans on, like, whether it be message boards, Reddit, whatever, they were bitching about how the team could use a dynamic defenseman. And Weber, we obviously saw him break down, as to be expected with his age. I mean, I don't think anybody's surprised by that, but they were definitely missing a guy like PK Subban, especially in Julian's system. So I'll be really interested to watch that as well. Dave, who do you got in this series and why?
I have Montreal, and I have them in seven games. I just think Lundqvist hasn't been himself this season, and I think Montreal with Carey Price and net, I think they'll be able to pull it up. I don't like their chances in the second round, but in the first round, I think they have enough to get over the Rangers. And by the way, Jake, yeah, it was 7 wins for the Rangers in the last 15 games, so it's not great.
Yeah, that was just that.
It's not great, and I don't think the Rangers have enough up front to get by Montreal.
Omar, who do you got?
Oh, yeah, I'll say the Habs as well. They'll finish it in 6. Maybe probably take 2 games at home, maybe drop one in New York, and then finish it in New York as well. I think even though the Rangers do have better players overall, I think Carey Price is the dynamic factor on that team. And although they may have Montreal may have their breakdowns and their mishaps, I think Carey Price is going to win them that series. So Montreal in 6.
Jake, I get the vibe you're going to be the only guy here picking the Rangers, or am I wrong?
No, I will. I'm picking the Rangers for sure. I mean, for me, I watched Nashville's playoff series last year, and you want to know something? Every single goal in that Game 7, Shea Weber was on the ice. And I said when they made that trade for PK Subban, it was the worst trade I've ever seen in my life, and I'll still go with that because I think that he's done. And, you know, this is a really fast team. The Rangers are really fast in terms of team speed, and they got a lot of really good players. They got depth in scoring. They got a deep defense back there and a great goaltender. And I think they're one of the teams that has shown the ability to go into Montreal, maybe not this year, but in the past, and can beat them in Montreal. And, yeah, I actually think the Rangers win this in 7.
The only guy that I like on the Rangers, actually, I forgot about, was Zibanejad. I think he could be a
difference. I like a couple more.
Yeah, I like a couple guys there, too.
I do. There's a couple, but I think he's a guy that could be an X factor for them.
I think Ryan McDonough, too, their captain, is an excellent player. So, I think he steps up a lot. Well, what are you going to say?
Sleeping on Michael Grabner there, too.
It's about to pretty good season. Hazen Miller.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like... what's his name? He's got like 2 goals after the All-Star break.
Grabner. Grabner. Oh yeah, he's been not as hot. He was on tear like, the first half. Man.
Ice cold. I feel like he actually has like 2 goals since the All-Star break.
I can. Well, that'd be funny. Yeah, he finished off with 40.
Oh my God, Jake.
Well, not goals, but points.
I actually. Well, when was the All-Star break again?
It was in, like, February, I think.
Okay, so since February 13th, he has, let's see here, one goal.
Oh, wow. I guess Leafs fans could feel better.
Yeah, yep. I feel a little bit better now. I'm still taking the Canadiens in 7, though, and for the main reason being that the Rangers, for as offensively dynamic they've been this year, they've given up the most seventh most shots against. It's been one of Lundqvist's worst seasons, and it's not because of him. It's because of the scoring chances they're giving up. If you go look at their heat maps and all that stuff, I know like I probably lost you already, Jake, but a lot of the scoring chances they're giving up are really, really good. And for an offensively challenged team like the Canadiens at times, I think this is the perfect antidote for them. So I don't think they'll score a bunch of goals right away, but I think they'll score enough to beat the Rangers in 7. Last but not least, I think this will be one of the most awesome series to watch for so many reasons. I mean, you got Dubinsky, Crosby, Tortorella, who's bound to have at least one explosion when the Penguins get a favorable call.
Oh, I can't wait.
And the Blue Jackets. There's so many places we could start here. Dave, do you think there's going to be any love lost between Dubinsky and Crosby?
Absolutely not. And I think Tortorella's strategy is going to have Dubinsky on Crosby. Not the whole game, but I think in those moments where Sid is kind of going and Dubinsky will try to... you can't stop Sid, but... Try to get in his way a little bit. So no, I think Dubinsky's gonna, and that rivalry is gonna be big.
Okay, Omar, Chris Letang's done for the year, not coming back. They're doing a whole defense by committee approach now. Can the Penguins make this work?
Oh yeah, I think so. They've proven it before where they can get through the playoffs with injuries. I think if anything, this series is going to be a complete bloodbath. They're definitely going to come out banged up in the second round. Whoever ends up winning this series. But it'll be by committee. You know, Ron Hainsley they got before the deadline. Mark Streit, Ian Cole, Trevor Daly, Justin Schultz. You know, he played well for them last year in the playoffs. So it'll definitely be a team effort on defense, not just on one person.
Jake, you look at Columbus down the stretch. Their power play has been almost non-existent. They've lost 6 of their last 7. They kind of limped into the playoffs, and they're very dependent on Bobrovsky. I guess an area they could attack Pittsburgh is on the power play because they have a 20th-ranked penalty kill. But how do the Blue Jackets draw penalties? Because Pittsburgh doesn't take a lot of them. So is there something they're going to try and do, or just good luck?
Yeah, first of all, I just think Brandon Dubinsky's a freaking loser. I hate that guy. Ever since he's been in New York, he's a rat. He sucks at hockey, and I hate how he thinks he's like, I'm this big guy that can go out and stop Sid. It's like, no, he's getting hat tricks while your ass is trying to slash him. you know, I like the Blue Jackets. I hate Brandon Dubinsky. That's about it. But, and Torts, I'm not a real big fan of. But, yeah, I mean, outside of that, you know, for Columbus, they better get their offense going real quick because I think Pittsburgh's going to score. You know, I know they have – They have Bobrovsky, who's probably going to win the Vezina, but, you know, the pressure's kind of ratcheting up a little bit. I mean, yeah, they're getting a little more eyes on them, you know, since they're in the playoffs in Columbus. But, you know, I don't think the last time when he was in the playoffs, he played very hot, and he had a really good year, too. And I kind of think it's going to be kind of a replay of how it was that last series they played, where I think it was Penguins 1-6. And they got a game in Pittsburgh and made it fun, and it was physical. But, yeah, you know, I have a hard time seeing that team going out there. Obviously, we saw them play on the weekend. They unfortunately won. But they're missing a lot of their defensemen were out. Seth Jones was out. Ryan Murray was out. Werenski was out. And a couple other their high-end scorers, but I'm just trying to think if they have enough high-end talent like a Crosby, a Malkin, you know, they can score, that can go out and score for them. You know, I'm a big fan of Avon Oldfarm's and my roommate's neighbor, Cam Atkinson, but, you know, I have a hard time believing that they're going to have games where they can score 5 goals, and I think that's might be what it takes to beat Pittsburgh.
Dave, considering how quiet Cam Atkinson's gone down the stretch, can Oliver Bjorkstrand step up and be that, I guess, X factor for them?
Who?
Bjorkstrand? Man, he's been one of their most highly talented guys. They're expecting a lot from him.
I thought it was Wennberg was their big scorer.
More
setup guy.
But recently, I can't even pronounce his name properly. These guys from Denmark, but along with the rest of the team, he went cold down the stretch there, but he did get on a good start to this when he did make his debut. I still think Atkinson is, I mean, he's led the team all season, but I think it still runs through Atkinson whether or not this team is successful. And then Brandon Saad has to have a reminder of why Chicago didn't want to get rid of him. I think him and Atkinson,
man child.
Okay, yeah,
that's his nickname.
I did not even know that.
Jeez, why else were so puzzled? Yeah.
Wow, I was not expecting that. I didn't even know that. So yeah, I think it's Saad and Atkinson. They're gonna have to bring their game up to that level, but it's really tough going up against Pittsburgh. That like they have scoring all over the place, talent all over the place. Phil Kessel on the third line, like, I mean, you could say he's also second line sometimes, but yeah, I don't think Atkinson and Saad are going to be enough. Even Foligno, I don't see the talent there to match Pittsburgh.
I kind of get the vibe we're all leaning Pittsburgh here. Maybe not in 6, but 7 games. So I guess we'll just go around right now before we go any deeper with this. Dave, are you on Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh in 5 games.
Oh, that's quick. Omar?
I'm going to give them a little more credit to Columbus. I think they can push it to seven. They'll lose, but it's definitely going to be a hard-fought series all the way to the end.
Jake?
Columbus is dead to me, so I hope they get swept. Had one job. But no, realistically, I think Stanley Cup champions. You know, they're not going out in the first round. Certainly not to the Blue Jackets. I think they went on in Columbus and they went in six.
I'm in six too. I just don't see how the Penguins lose to them. Even if Bobrovsky stands on his head, I still see the Penguins just peppering him with shots, and they're gonna get two. You're going to get two, maybe three. If they're peppering him with shots, that means Columbus isn't getting any. So I don't see them shutting out the Penguins' offense for four wins in a seven-game series. I just don't see it. So I'll take the Penguins in six. So looking back at everything we got here, guys, we got Capitals, unanimous, all of us, in five or six. All of us are on Boston. 3-1 in favor of Montreal. Jake, you're the lone wolf here on the Rangers. And all of us are on Pittsburgh. So I guess we might as well just start with Washington-Pittsburgh. In the following round. This is pretty much what some will say a Stanley Cup preview, in a sense, where the winner is going to the Cup. Do you guys agree with that, or do you feel like anybody else can beat one of these two teams in the East? Jake, opening thoughts?
No, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I don't see one team that can beat Washington in four games in a seven-game span. I just don't. They're so good. I mean, that's why I think the Leafs are in so tough. But they're way too talented to lose, and especially that loss of Letang is just a killer for the Penguins. I mean, you know, really good team still, Pittsburgh, but you know, they have the depth now, and I think they're just more equipped to deal with Pittsburgh and the big, you know, the missing piece for Washington last year was their penalty kill, their power play, sorry, which seems to always go cold for some reason for them in the playoffs. I never understand why, but you know, that's going to be, you know, a big turning point for them, and I think they finally get over the hump, sort of like back in 2011 when Vancouver finally got over the hump that was the Blackhawks and found a way to win. So I still see the Capitals winning the series and finally ending the drought. So I see Ovi finally going to the conference finals for the first time in his career. I have them winning in six.
Omar, you share that same sentiment, or are you leaning towards Pittsburgh?
Oh yeah, definitely. I feel like Washington is like Ash Ketchum from Pokemon. You know, every season Ash.
That's a new one.
Yeah, every season Ash, you know, goes to the Pokemon League with a stacked team and then loses. And then all the fans get crushed. But I think this year, Washington can definitely, you know, get past Pittsburgh. I think, ironically, it's going to go to Game 7. And definitely, I feel like Washington is a better team, a stronger team. You know, they added key pieces at the deadline that has helped them. And I think they can get past Pittsburgh finally.
How many games you got?
Oh, I'll say seven. It'll be close.
Okay. Dave?
I thought Washington was going to win that series last season. I think Brayden Holtby played out of his mind in the playoffs last year, and they should have won against Pittsburgh. So I like what Washington did to add to their team, and I think if the Leafs don't give them too much of a problem, if Washington can get over the Leafs pretty early, it gives them a bit of an advantage there. I think Pittsburgh might get... I wouldn't say that Columbus is going to be a brutal series for them in terms of like the physicality. Maybe that kind of slows them up a bit. But, I mean, Malkin is coming back from an injury. You got you know, without Letang, they're not as strong. And then I think that'll be a really tough series. And I think Washington in seven. But, I mean, I think that's going to be the best series of the playoffs if it happens.
I'm with you guys. If this is not the Caps' year, I don't know when is. And I do think them playing the Leafs in round one will be a good test for them, in a sense where the Leafs play a very similar system to Pittsburgh. They have team speed all around, similar to Pittsburgh. They have a lethal power play, similar to Pittsburgh. I just feel like the Leafs are kind of like the junior Penguins, and that's going to be a really good test for the Capitals. And like Dave just said, the Penguins are going to go to absolute war with the Blue Jackets. They may wax them off in six games, maybe five even, but it's going to be one physical series. And I just feel like that's going to help Washington. So I got the Caps in 7 because I don't think Pittsburgh will make it easy. I just can't picture Crosby, Geno, and those guys just going down like without a fight. So Caps here, though. Caps here. So on the other side, we got Boston playing either Montreal or the Rangers. Jake, you had the Rangers, so we'll let you start off here. Who's taking it between the Bruins and the Rangers?
That's going to be a close one. Obviously, those New York-Boston battles are going to be fun, too. And we kind of had that when, well, unfortunately, we had a team that lost in Game 7, so it put that together. And, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a good one, but I just think it depends on the health of the Bruins defense. And, you know, if they have everyone back healthy and you get, you know, a Charlie McAvoy in there with a Brandon Carlo back, I want to pick the Bruins, but I just, I don't know. I feel like the Rangers, they just rarely get knocked down the first round, you know, outside of last year. And I think they win in 7 games, but I think that series is going to 7. It could go either way, though.
We got to pick one. I mean, you can't send the fence here.
I know. I said the Rangers.
I know. I'm just teasing you. All right, so you got the Rangers going through. Myself, Omar, and Dave, we all had the Habs and the, my God, Drew Blank, the Bruins. So, Omar, who do you got between the Bruins and the Habs?
Oh, that'd be a great,
one of the better rivalries, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a great series, eh? Especially with Julian coaching against his former team in the second round. I think for Montreal, it'll be the same, kind of the same as in the first round with Ottawa. They're probably going to have to rely on Price, as they always do, just because Boston's going to be flying. They're going to be hitting. You know, Marchand's going to be Marchand. So I think I'll have to give it to Montreal. They can probably do it in 6 just because of Price, which is the common answer for all of them. But it'll definitely be an interesting series between the two.
Dave?
Who
you got?
I wouldn't even want to give – this is probably the one time I wouldn't want to give either team a win. But, I mean, we have to choose a winner. So I'm leaning more towards Boston. I think they look a bit better up front. And, I mean, while Tuukka Rask is not as good as Carey Price, I think he's still pretty good. I'm giving the slight edge to Boston, but that's going to be a really tough series. It's going to go to 7 games, and I think it's going to be one of those – bounce back between wins. I don't think one team is going to, you know, grab a big lead and then lose it. I think it's just going to be trading games. And those two teams have had some great playoff series. So I still give it to Boston, but it's not going to be close. I mean, well, yeah, it's going to be close.
I was about to say.
One of those nights, guys. One of those nights. Jay's just lost. That's part of the reason. So
I know. 1-6 for the first time ever. That's
Who cares?
I know. Moment of silence. All right. Poor one out for the Blue Jays. I'll take the Canadians. 7 games. I think it'll be tight. Carey Price is the difference because why wouldn't he be? He's pretty much all they'll have there. And we'll just get right into it. Capitals over, I guess, everybody. That's pretty much who we're taking here.
Yep.
Yeah. Because I think if they play, for me, they play the Rangers, I think they scrunch them. And that's another team that that would be pretty big because they've never beaten the Rangers in a series, I don't think.
I'll have to go back and look that up, but I feel like that's right.
Oh, yeah. They'd always lose to them in Game 7s.
Oh, yeah. I always remember. I've seen those. You know, I was at one of them. I remember I think it was who scored the overtime winning goal where they were down 3-2 in the series, and then they won one in Washington, and then they won in New York. I'm blanking on who scored the winner, but it might have been Derek Stepan in like 3 overtimes or something because it was crazy. I remember I was outside around Madison Square Garden after that, and it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, I feel like I'm trying to remember too. That Rangers team was pretty good back then. I know they were blocking a lot of shots and playing a kind of a slow style of play at times, but they were fun to watch. But Dave, is it like you're on board with us? No, Caps here.
Oh, for sure. I mean, if Washington is able to get to the conference final, I don't see them losing it. I think that team is built for the playoffs. They're just built for a cup run, so no doubt.
Okay, so you heard it here first. It's the Caps year. I mean, we've been saying since the beginning of the year, so now it's official. It's the Caps year. Omar, who do you have coming out of the West? I know we did it yesterday, all the West prediction, but who did you have coming out of the West?
Chicago.
Chicago. Okay, so me and you have Chicago, and these two guys have the Ducks. So we have the Capitals. Ducks? Oh, see? Okay. Jake, stand up for your Ducks. This is your part to chime in here.
I'd love to see hear the reasoning.
I just picked them because of, you know, their overall team depth and the way they've played the past couple weeks, but especially just their defense corps is just so deep, and that's what you need. And, you know, that's another team. I just see this whole playoffs teams getting over the hump, and the Ducks have always been getting beaten by the Blackhawks, and I always find out that the Blackhawks are just really lucky in some of these games because they win a lot of overtime games against those LA teams, the Ducks and the Kings. So, I just,
you know why, Jake?
Why is that?
They're the clutch team. Skip Bayless told you so.
Yep.
That's your boy.
Yeah, me. He's the same boy as me and Charles Barkley. Where if we're gonna be on death row, we want to kill him first.
Well, do we all have the Caps winning the Cup, or does anybody disagree?
Yeah, I agree.
I do.
If they don't, then Twitter is going to go on fire. So
I think they would beat the Ducks in six games. But yeah, I mean, there's going to be crying Jordan memes everywhere and crying Jordan face on Mia Khalifa, on Alex Ovechkin.
The roast on her is going to be unreal. I'm just going to laugh. But I know that sounds like the worst thing to say, but
I mean, did you see the thing that was written in the on the boards of the Capitals rink?
Oh.
It says, don't blow this and lose in the second round again.
Oh.
So, I mean, I think the marketplace is getting pretty frustrated with the team too. So, but this, you know, they talked, Justin Williams was on Overdrive yesterday, and he was just talking about, you know, how he just thinks that this is the best team that he's ever been on. And you know, I agree. They look so good. I just think back to when they played the Leafs, who, yeah, they were playing on a back-to-back, but the Caps were resting players, and it didn't even look like a fair fight. So I think they're the class of the league, and I would be pretty shocked if they lost.
Buddy, that was a massacre that night. It was god awful. I do think the Hawks will push them to seven, though.
Yeah. Oh, if they play the Hawks, they're gonna make you earn it, because that's a team that's 3-0 in the Stanley Cup Finals. And you know, if they do play the Hawks, I wouldn't be shocked if they lost, because they just, I don't know what. But they just always find a way to win.
They have that uber confidence too. I know it's like a really shitty reason, but
I would love to know how many games those core players have played in the playoffs. It's got to be in like 150 or something.
Yeah, I feel like that's right, actually.
Yeah, you can never bet against the Blackhawks. Even, you know, no matter who they're up against. Like, I guess last year was kind of a shock and destroyed many playoff brackets around the world. But usually, you can never bet against them.
Well, I do think Nashville's going to be really tough for them in round one. But like we all were kind of saying, if they can get past them, I don't know how they don't go back to the Cup. Unless, you know, like Dave and Jake are saying, the Ducks get in the way. But I'll believe that when I see it, to be honest.
Don't right. sleep on the Ducks. It's the Ducks year. Oregon in the Final Four. Ducks in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Does Johnny Burns play?
That's what we're secretly hoping.
That's actually the main reason why Jake wants the Ducks to Cup. He just doesn't want to say condition. It. That's exactly why.
Get that condition.
Yeah, I actually have the Ducks sweeping everyone and Johnny Burns getting the Vezina, and we get two first-round picks or whatever it is.
So we got an all birds final. I mean, we had a bird in the Super Bowl too. We had the Falcons. Now we got the Hawks or the Ducks versus the Capitals, if you want to even count the Capitals as a bird. But all of them are the final. So you heard it here first. Caps are going to win the Cup. All four of us agree on it.
We really went out on a limb on that one.
I know.
It's the easy choice to pick the Caps.
Yeah.
But
it's like the Patriots. It's like, yeah, you're going to be right majority of the time. it's like who's your AFC championship pick? Patriots versus blank. It's a lock. But they seem to be the easy choice.
Well, I mean, do you try and be bold and pick against them? And if you do, do you actually believe yourself?
No, I wouldn't. Because I generally tend to think, you know, because it's a 7-game series and not a 1-game playoff, the best team usually wins, and they are just by far the best team. You know, even when I look in the class of the West, Chicago, that's a team with a ton of rookies. And, they just don't look as good as they have in the past, because, you know, maybe it's because they have all those rookies, and who knows, they'll probably, one of them will probably score about 15 goals in the playoffs and become the next stud that's getting paid peanuts for a couple of years. So Nick Schmaltz, or, you know, Vinny Hinostroza, or Tanner Nero, or, you know, any of these guys.
Don't forget Ryan Hartman. I know you love him. You want the Leafs to acquire him.
I wanted them to pick him, yeah.
You were all over him. All right, guys, anything else you want to add before we get out of here?
No, I don't think so.
No, I think we're good.
Yeah. Nah, maybe we should have caused some chaos instead that Edmonton would win the cup. Hey, David?
Oh, that would make my friend from Edmonton very happy, and Jake and Chris know who that is.
That would make actually Jake have the worst year of his life. That'd be worse than the Patriots in the Super Bowl. If the Patriots won the Super Bowl and the Oilers won the same year.
It was
year.
A terrible sports year for me. I mean, you had the stupid Cleveland Cavaliers win the freaking NBA championship. You had the fucking Patriots win again in the worst way in the history of sports.
Very leafy, eh?
Yeah. My fucking school lost in the fucking finals again. Oh, it's like society hates me. Although they gave, the Jets are just always dog shit. At least the Leafs have something going, and the Raptors are pretty decent too. So, not all is completely in the shitter, but only about 4/5 of it.
Okay, I mean, I don't want to say anything to make you feel better, because it'll probably make you feel worse. I don't want to mush your teams either. So, just go Capitals. Yeah, exactly. We'll make some money this postseason betting on games. All right, guys, I'd like to thank everybody for listening to this episode of the Chip of the Tower Toronto Maple Leafs podcast, although it was more of an Eastern Conference preview than anything. As always, you can follow the show on iTunes. You can subscribe to the show, on iTunes or SoundCloud at Tip of the Tower. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Tip of the Tower. You can follow me on Twitter at Crystal Kranitz. You can follow Omar on Twitter at OLW93. You can follow Jake on Twitter at JakeMiddleton12, and you can follow Dave on Twitter at D_Morisuti. Best luck with your brackets, guys. Enjoy the Leafs game on Thursday, and enjoy having hockey on every night, and playoff hockey no less. Until then, take care.
Toronto is proud and happy to select from Modo, Sweden, William Nylander.
The Knights, Mitch Marner.